Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm going to ask you to remain standing for the reading of our gospel lesson this morning, brothers and sisters, out of reverence for this word. If you're able to continue standing, if not, please feel free to have a seat. We arrive at a portion of time in our Lenten season now on the cusp of this Holy Week where Jesus strides triumphantly into Jerusalem and people are left to figure out what kind of king this one will be and what kind of kingdom he'll usher in. There was a lot of anticipation and confusion over the kind of kingdom that Jesus would usher in or Jesus would represent, especially since he strode through Jerusalem, not on a war horse of conquer and defeat, but on a humble beast of burden. And we see how it is that this king is a direct contrast to the kings the world had seen to that point. But I'm offering you a word this morning, a word that kind of preempts that triumphant procession in Jerusalem, because I think it has something for us. I believe this word is rich, real, and relevant and living for us. And if we open ourselves to it, how it is that God can meet us right where we are. So I want to bring you to Luke chapter 19. And for the sake of clarity, I'm entering into this gospel text midstream, because Jesus has just finished telling a parable that stands in stark contrast to how it is that this king in the kingdom of God operates. So if you'll just join me, if you'll bear with me as I read you this word from the 19th chapter. Scripture says, after he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethphage in Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anybody asks you why you're untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. And so those who were sent departed, and they found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner, sure enough, comes out and asks what they were doing. Why are you untying the colt? And they said, well, the Lord needs it. And so then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their own cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. And as he was approaching now the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud praise for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. The very proclamation that was given at the beginning of Luke from the heavenly chorus of angels when Jesus was born was now proclaimed by an earthly chorus of people who said the same things. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace in the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I think that's interesting. And as they were proclaiming, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. That's where we stop this morning. Offer your living word of God for a living people of God. And we say,
thanks be to God.
Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. A lot of verbs in that passage. Did you see them? Did you take notice what Jesus asked his disciples to do? Not ask, but just commanded them to do. Go ahead. You too. Go ahead. Not only go ahead, but to see and find. And once you find, untie, unbind, release that and return it to me. The Lord needs it. And if anybody asks you why or what you're doing, just tell them that the Lord needs it. You know, when I read this word, I wondered, would anybody in Christ Church have the cojones to cooperate with that kind of command that came from Christ? I wonder if any of us would be prone to follow the instruction. I wonder if there's anybody here at Christ Church that would have the gusto to follow like the disciples did. It'd be harder than you think. I mean, it'd almost be like the Lord saying, look, y'all leave the sanctuary, peruse the parking lot, and pick out the best set of wheels that you can find. Pick out the best set of wheels and burn rubber until you bring it back to me. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, just tell them that I sent you. Just tell them that Jesus sent you. You think that would go over very well? Pick out the nicest car in the parking lot, take off, bring it back to me, and if anybody asks what you're doing, just say, hey, the Lord sent me. Now, for all of you heathens looking for a biblical mandate for burglary, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning, huh? Yeah, you never would have thought I was there, but it's there apparently. You know, I couldn't help as I studied this week wonder what Jim Robinson would say to Jesus. I really do. I can't help but wonder what Jim Robinson would say to Jesus when all kinds of Christians went claiming Cadillacs like they were hotcakes on the grounds that they were doing it for God. You know what, sir? I'll take that Cadillac and those keys. Thank you. And see what happens. Not as easy as you think, but at any rate, that was the request. Two of you, go ahead, find. Once you find, untie, unbind, release, and then return it to me. You know, wouldn't it have been much less provocative and much more appropriate had Jesus himself just gone and made the request? I'm sure he was much more well-known in the community than some of his disciples. Wouldn't it have been easier for Jesus to have gone ahead and done that? But nonetheless, he sends out those who serve him. And I think it would have been much less provocative and much more appropriate had Jesus at least instructed the disciples to ask for permission. But that wasn't even part of the plan either. They didn't even ask. He said, just, you're going to find something up the road. When you find it, untie it, take it, bring it back to me, and if somebody asks you what you're doing with it, say that the Lord needs it. Permission wasn't part of the plan, but guess what? They were. I gotta stay there for just a second. Permission wasn't part of the plan, but guess what? They were. It seems that in the whole of the gospel story, from beginning to end, God has always included people to be part of a bigger plan. And it seems that plan, as well as the provision, becomes more apparent as people of God are willing to walk in obedience to what His Word says. You have nothing to go on, disciples, but what I'm going to tell you. What I'm going to tell you is that there is a provision up the road, and there's a plan for that provision, but you're not going to see that plan unfold or that provision unless you pedal a path. And the more you walk, the more apparent that's going to be. It seems, even though permission wasn't a part of the plan, people have always been. It's true today. It's true today for those who are willing to walk in obedience to word. And you might say, well, Pastor Jake, you know, it's really kind of easy to sit here and entertain scripture and to say I agree, but it's tough. You know, Pastor Jake, if only the Lord's instruction were as clear to me as it was for the disciples. You know, if I received a prompt from Jesus and I knew it was clear and it was from the Lord, I'd be quick to obey too. If only our instructions were that clear, we'd be quick to obey. But alas, even though we don't often hear the Lord as obviously, the mandate, brothers and sisters, underlying that is crystal clear. And it's always, go ahead of me, prepare a place. I'm going to be there soon, but go ahead of me, see a need, find a need, and once you find the need, unbind it, untie it, release it, and bring it back to me. And Jesus says, the more you pedal, the clearer the plan. The clearer the plan, the more obvious the provision. And you know, each time I read this account, I think the encounter with the owner of the colt gets even more and more comedic. Scripture doesn't spend a whole lot of time there and doesn't exactly say what happened when they got onto this guy's property and they just started unraveling his animal and taking it. Yeah, every time I spend some time in study over this portion of text, I laugh a little more and more each time. Can't you hear him? I can imagine the owner of the colt talking to his neighbor next door who wondered what the heck was going on, who just so happened to see what was occurring with the disciple was him taking his colt off. And I could see this owner of the colt kind of talking to his neighbor saying, man, can you believe it? I really can't believe what my eyes saw. These guys had the gall to come onto my property, to come onto my premises, take my property without permission. They didn't even ask. And they took my ass. They took my ass, for Christ's sake. And I laugh at that. I was like, how would you explain that? You know, I can see that as a buzzword coming out of Palm Sunday. Don't trust those disciples. They'll take your ass, for Christ's sake. Now, don't go tell staff parish that Pastor Jake's cussing in the sanctuary. But I just think it's so funny. I can see this guy saying, oh, what? They took my ass. And they said, why? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, they took my ass. I'll rephrase it. They peddled off with my property. They didn't ask permission. But I can see in the heart of this guy, they didn't explain what they were doing, but there was a big part of me that somehow knew that in serving them, I was serving him. I don't know how, I don't know when, but a big part of me felt deep down that in serving them, I was serving him. I was tentative about it, but I let them untie it anyways. I wasn't sure when the Lord would use it or how the Lord would use it, but I thought it better to let it go for the Lord rather than it to be tied up here with me. You know, I took a look, and I thought it better for them to let what I had go for the sake of the Lord rather for it to be stayed tied up here with me. Get this. In time, he didn't understand at first, but in time he understood that what he released to the Lord returned on. It's an amazing premise. It's an amazing biblical witness, or at least a projection of what happens when we sow certain things. We reap certain things. What he released to, the Lord ended up returning on, literally. Jesus took what he released to him and did something with it that he never had seen happen before, that nobody had seen happen before, that nobody had done before. Jesus took what he released to him and he returned on it. Jesus used what he had as a vehicle. Think about it. Use what he had as a vehicle that said something powerful about the kingdom of God. Church, it seems that something powerful takes place. Something powerful takes place when we're united in mission. When you're united in mission. Time and time again, the biblical witness shows us the great acts of God often hinge on the obedience of the ones he sends. Regular, everyday, run-of-the-mill, ordinary people who don't have it all figured out, who don't have it all together, but guess what? They walk together. We don't know everything. We don't have it all together. We may not even agree, but we'll walk together. And on the basis of being united in mission, we end up seeing things we wouldn't have otherwise. Think of all the times, brothers and sisters, Jesus sent disciples ahead together. Which reminds us, brothers and sisters, when it comes to being united in mission, Jesus never meant for Christian discipleship to be an isolated endeavor. Never meant for us to be lone rangers. The world increasingly creates a world where we believe that we can do everything by ourselves. You can be holed up in your house and do everything that you need to. I talked about that last week. We weren't meant to do this alone. Every time Jesus sent anybody out, he never sent them by themselves. It was always in the company of someone else. They were always united. I think something powerful happens when a people are united in mission, trusting, determined to trust the one who sends us, that the Lord not only has a greater provision up the road, but a greater plan as well. And incredibly, our response somehow affects what God does next, and it colors the way others experience the Lord. To be united. Something powerful takes place when we're not only united in mission, but we also are a people who become untied for service. United in mission and untied for service. Those are two powerful themes that take place in this preemptive event before Jesus processes into Jerusalem. United in mission, the disciples were untied for service. May not have all the answers, may not agree on how to get there, but we're bound and determined to trust the one who sent us ahead. And on the basis of being united in mission and one untied for service, how it is that the gospel message is proclaimed and life is transformed and Jesus is seen in ways we haven't seen him before. This text reminds us of much, not the least of which is this. What we release to, the Lord returns on. The unnamed donor didn't see it right away, but there was a return on his investment. And the return on investment was that so many people saw Jesus because of it. So many people saw Jesus because of it. You know what? Brothers and sisters, the Lord can't make a return on anything that we don't release to. He can't return on it if we never release to. We've never released it to him. And there's lots of people that are bound up or tied up in things that they've experienced. Maybe a heartbreak, maybe a frustration, maybe an uncertainty, maybe a grudge, maybe some unforgiveness or resentment. Hey, there can't be a return on it if you can't release it. What is it that we need to untie in our lives? What is it something that we need to let go of in order for the gospel to be proclaimed in and through us? Or for us to receive it ourselves? What do you need to untie in your life? What might you need to willingly let go of for the use of the Lord? What would happen to us all, not just some of us, but all of us, what would happen to us all if we made a decision not to keep our time tied up to ourselves? If we made a decision not to keep our talent tied up to ourselves? If we made a decision not to keep our treasures tied up to ourselves? If we made a decision not to take our testimonies and hoard them away and keep them tied up with us? What would happen if all of us, not just some of us, made a decision to untie the things of us, release them, and have them returned and have them be returned to the Lord for His use, for His purposes? Look at what we see here. Imagine what we see. We see something incredible happening here. Christ on a colt that was released for the Lord's use. Here we have Christ, someone incredibly divine, and a colt, something that in that day was undeniably common. Someone incredibly divine and something else that was undeniably common. We look at that and say, man, that's kind of a paradox, but it's been the way that the Lord's worked from beginning to end. How it is that something undeniably common can be used to carry something incredibly divine. It's amazing. Why should we be surprised? That's just like Jesus to do. Isn't that the birthplace of the gospel? Something incredibly divine happening in something undeniably common. The Gospel of John begins by saying, in the beginning was the, help me, Word. Something incredibly divine. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and in the fullness of time, that Word became something undeniably common. Something that was incredibly divine took on flesh and became undeniably common. It's the way of the Gospel, it's the way of the Lord. Mary, a peasant woman of humble beginning, someone who was undeniably common, yet released herself for the use of the Lord, and by virtue of that, someone who was undeniably common ended up carrying someone incredibly divine. That's how it works. One boy's lunch, 4 loaves and 2 fishes, something that was undeniably common, the boy and the lunch. And yet, when it was released unto the Lord, Jesus took it and did something incredibly divine. One man's colt, we see it right here, something undeniably common, and yet when released unto the Lord for the Lord's use, became a vehicle. It carried something incredibly divine. Brothers and sisters of Christ Church, indeed, it seems the Lord rolls with the things we release. I'll roll with it if you release it. You release it into me, I'll use it as a vehicle. And what you release to me, I'll return on. And maybe your return was that by virtue of the things that you give up, By the virtue of the things you release, untying your life, my time, my talents, my treasures, my testimony, by virtue of all of that, what happens is the Lord uses it as a vehicle where people can see Jesus different. And what a return that is. The Lord seems to roll with the things we release. I was given permission to tell this story. Perhaps you know about it. Had we had our technology, I would have shown you a nice little picture, but I've got some hard copy ones here. Gary Bryant, who is a member of our choir in the back corner here, when he retired, he became a director, a work coordinator, a work volunteer for the House of the Carpenter, and agencies from all over come every now and then in Wheeling, and they do projects. And one of the projects that a lot of teams do is they take advantage of a ramp building system that Gary engineered. There are people who become immobilized and have a hard time getting in and out of their houses because they're not necessarily accessible. And what Gary had learned to do over the course of time was to develop a system where pieces can be constructed and placed in temporarily and then reused. You know about that. Gary told me a story one time about how it is that he was summoned to the house of a family in St. Clairsville, just up the road. And this house contained a young man who was virtually paralyzed. He couldn't move much whatsoever. He had some movement in his hands, but that was just about the extent of it. And he was in this house that really wasn't accessible. He was confined to a space. His world was condensed just to that living space. And they asked, they found out about what the House of the Carpenter did and that work team and Gary, and I think Bob Strasser even came and he joined a team of men that constructed this ramp for this young man and his family. And here you can see really kind of vaguely what things look like. The young man you can see on the porch in the chair. You would have had a much more vivid picture had our screens been up, but you can get the idea. They had gathered over the course of a couple of days. They had built this ramp for this boy that was virtually immobilized, couldn't go anywhere. And they were in conversation with the mom, and the mom, who was his primary caretaker, said that, you know, I bathe my son, I dress my son, I feed my son. He had a feeding tube. He couldn't chew or swallow, and she would clean his feeding tube, make sure that he had food through his feeding tube, and took care of him. And Gary was really moved by the love, the sacrificial love, the grace and the mercy of this mom. And so they had built the ramp, and there was a period of time where they had taken a break, maybe to get a water refreshment or a snack. And Gary was in conversation with this woman, and he bent down. He says. He bent down and looked at the young man in his eyes, and he said, "Son, you have a really good mommy. Do you know that you've got a really good mom?" And the son, who couldn't do much moving, managed to take his hand and do this. That's the kind of transformation, and that's the kind of message that takes place when common, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill people go ahead and they see and they find a need, they embrace the need, and by virtue of doing that, untie and unbind and release and return to the places from which they come. Isn't it amazing that when we do those kind of things, brothers and sisters, as a community of faith, not just as a disparate group, but as an entire community of faith, those are ones who were sent ahead to preempt Jesus, who see a need, embrace the need, untie, unbind, and restore and return to the places from which they came. Jesus has a way of showing up. Jesus uses that as a vehicle. She was a ministry to the men about God's endless grace, hope, mercy, and love that doesn't quit, like the psalm says. Can't you still hear the cries today as it was then, brothers and sisters? Cries for Hosanna. They were cries then, and their cries today. Save us. Save us. We need a hope. We need a bigger narrative. We need another story. Hosanna, save us. And isn't it amazing how it is that those who preempt the Savior's arrival can herald that message? That God's still restoring, God's still unbinding, God's still untying, and it happens through the hands and feet of the brothers and sisters that are sent ahead that serve Him. The same is true. The same is true for us. Something incredible Something incredibly divine occurred in that moment amid some people who were undeniably common. All because someone saw it fit to go ahead to represent Jesus, give of themselves, release to, and Jesus returns on. Happens more than you think. In every instance, as I close, the gospel is heard from the hearts of people who are united in mission, and not only united in mission, but untied for service. Do we think alike? No. Do we look alike? No. Do we talk alike? No. Do we believe alike even? Sometimes not. Do we live alike? No. But brothers and sisters, we can love alike, but it's going to require us choosing which king and which kingdom we'll be a part of. Brothers and sisters, the word united and untied have the same foundational ingredients. They're made up of the same letters. You can spell them with the same components. But you know what? In order for united to spell untied, an I is going to have to move. There's going to have to be a movement of an I, and it's not a promotion, it's actually a demotion. It's going to have to get behind the cross. But it's amazing what happens when people are united in mission and untied for service. When we get behind the cross and join the Savior in salvation and redemption's work. On this Palm Sunday, to start this Holy Week, may we fix our eyes to a cross-carrying Christ who says, "Follow me." In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.